We turn for our New Testament reading this morning to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, starting in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 21. Mark 15, verse 1. Early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders and scribes and the whole council immediately held a consultation. And binding Jesus, they led him away and delivered him to Pilate. Pilate questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "It is as you say." The chief priests began to accuse him harshly. Then Pilate questioned him again, saying, "Do you not answer? See how many charges they bring against you?" But Jesus made no further answer. So Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast he used to release for them any one prisoner whom they requested. The man named Barabbas had been imprisoned with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the insurrection. The crowd went up and began asking him to do as he had been accustomed to do for them. Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he was aware that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead. Answering again, Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with him who you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him!" But Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers took him away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and they called together the whole Roman cohort. They dressed him up in purple, and after twisting a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to acclaim him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They kept beating his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling and bowing before him. After they had mocked him, they took the purple robe off him and put his own garments on him, and they led him out to crucify him. They pressed into service a passerby coming from the country, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. So in reading through Mark, we come here to passages that remind us how great a cost Jesus paid for our salvation. We see sufferings beyond what we can imagine. Before this passage, we'd already seen how Jesus suffered the desertion and denial of his closest friends. We also saw how Jesus suffered in the garden, just from knowing what was ahead and that it was time. We see suffering from the fact that he as creator and true king was rejected in favor of a criminal, a murderer, and guilty of actual insurrection, which was ironically a main part of the false witness against Jesus before Pilate. He suffered from disbelief, false accusation under the law that he gave. He suffered under unjust judgment. And of course, the cruelty, and we saw the mocking here of men. And all of that's added to the intense physical pain. But ultimately, even more than this, we'll see in later passages, the suffering of being forsaken for time by his Father, by his Heavenly Father. So we want to remember, when we see here very compellingly, you were bought with a price. We also see in this passage a picture of substitution, the substitutionary atonement. We see this in the release of Barabbas, who deserved to be condemned, and of course the condemnation of Jesus, who deserved to go free. He paid a debt he didn't owe, because I owed a debt I could not pay. So we see that great exchange, as it's known. And even in this unimaginable difficulty, we see in this passage how Jesus remains sinless and our perfect example. 1 Peter 2:23 tells us, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." So often it's our tendency, when we're attacked or reviled, to respond. And there is a time for that, but we see here even perfect example that there can be a time to remain silent, to not revile, certainly, in return, and not respond with threats and with venom, but entrust ourselves instead to him who knows the truth, who judges righteously. And it continues in 1 Peter, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed." So we have that wonderful reminder from 1 Peter that as we see this passage and the sufferings of Christ, that it was him bearing our sins who trust in him, in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And we can rejoice because by his wounds we are healed. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we see in this passage that we have read that you have prepared and provided so great a salvation. So we thank you. You display in it your love. And even in your humiliation and suffering, you show us your glory. We ask that you would work in our hearts, each and every heart here, that we would not ignore or reject or downplay the importance of so great a salvation, but we would all respond in faith and in love for you, for what you have done, for who you are, that you have a love for us that is undeserved and far beyond what we can even imagine, that you would lay down your life for the ungodly, for your sheep. In contrast, we have fallen far short of your glory, so we confess this morning that in this past week, in coming to this service of worship, that we have broken your commands. And knowing that even if we have broken it at one point, which it has been many more, but even if it was only at one point, we're guilty of breaking the whole. So we come before you confessing our sinfulness and our need for your mercy and grace. We pray that you would be with those among us who are sick, suffering, that you would heal and give strength to bear up under that suffering, where it would be your will to delay or not heal, that we would see all things as working together for the good of those who are called according to your purpose, and to be content first with you and then with those providences that you give to us. We pray that you be with those who are traveling among us or will soon. We think of Barnes' family vacation. You would refresh and you would give strength, joy in strengthening, spending time together and strengthening his family. We ask also now that you be with John Quer, Becky's husband, that you would be pleased to work all things that, in a way that he would be able to quickly join Becky and Dang as husband and father. We have been praying for this for so long, church, and have seen your blessing and advancement in that. We ask that you would bring it to completion quickly, if that would be your will. We think of our nation and would pray that you would restore, in many ways, restore this nation, but even more, that you would work in the hearts of the people to turn the hearts of the people toward you, that in greater measure this nation would be living according to your word with a heart for you, and not turning their own way toward self-reliance, toward those counterfeits, pleasure of so many things that our culture and our nation are chasing after. And also that those that are leaders in this nation would rule according to your word, that they would be saved where they are not, and then where they would live out their faith in how they govern according to your word, and that we would have that nation where we can continue to worship freely, without fear of punishment for doing what is right and for saying what is right. And we also pray for your church, that as you would be pleased to grow your church, to strengthen your church, that they would have impact, even greater impact than we've seen in recent times in our nation and in the world, that be effective in bringing forth your word and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we think of the sacrifices that we bring today, that we would bring, each one of us, the sacrifice of living according to your word. So as we hear your word today, we ask that you would give us attention to it, understanding of it, faith to receive it, that we would receive it with expectation and joy, and that it would bear much fruit in our lives even long after we've heard it. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.